Hey there, spooky friends, and welcome to another episode of the Scariest Podcast.
Woo!
I'm Robin Grace, this is Adam Diaz.
Hello.
And we're here with another few topics, I guess. This week we're going to be covering some strange occurrences, if I remember your topic correctly.
Mine is definitely strange. Yeah, it's a strange occurrence for sure.
Yeah, and mine is definitely also strange. It's a couple of topics that are a bit unexplained. So I am going to go first here, I guess, unless you wanted to actually tell everyone what your topic was. I mean
they're gonna get to it sooner or later. Mine's called the Green Children of Woolpit. So it's a pretty weird topic, but I'm gonna cover it like I do. I got my research and everything. Okay. I think it's gonna be pretty good. But yeah, before we dive into everything, Robin just wanted to just juice this up and just go right in. Let's just cover what's the last 7 days been like. Actually, it's been 8 days since the listeners heard our wonderful voices.
So. Just work and prepping for Thanksgiving, like coming out here. We're actually recording in the same room, so that's cool.
I realize this is the first time we've recorded in the same room in like 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. The first thing she said was, oh, I forgot how loud you were in person. So that was nice to hear. Always nice. It's nice that I will not have to battle any echoing. And the edit won't require like several alignments as I go along. So that should be more beneficial. But yeah, we were supposed to do the episode last night and we realized like, hey, if we wait a day, we just post the episode on Thursday instead of Wednesday, we can record in the same room together, which would be super fun because we haven't been able to do that in a long time. And honestly, this is probably the latest we've recorded in a long time too, which was not the plan, but Robin didn't get in until like 9:30 at night, and we had a bunch of other stuff we had to do too. So tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Actually, I guess technically 12:31 a.m. it is Thanksgiving.
Oh,
so
yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah. Shout out to anyone who's listening to this on Thanksgiving, because we appreciate if you chose to actually sit down and listen to our voices during this holiday, and you could be spending it with your family or your friends. And if you're letting us spend it with you, we appreciate it. And for those of you who don't celebrate Thanksgiving, the U.S. Thanksgiving, happy Thursday, because it doesn't mean anything to you, and I totally understand that. But yeah, so we got two topics. I think Robin's going to cover a couple of things on her topics, not just a single thing. And I don't got anything else left to say. All right. I haven't really been doing anything for the last 7 days except prepping for Thanksgiving, like Robin said, and some stuff that's happening in December. But yeah, good stuff.
Cool.
Hope you all like this.
Yeah.
Take it away.
All right, so... So my topic, or topics really, are some strange occurrences that are true events, that things that have actually happened, and they're just so odd, it's hard to believe that they're real. So the first incident or event, I guess, is called the Hollinwell incident, and for this one, we'll have to travel to Kirkby in Ashfield in Nottinghamshire, England.
Mine takes place also in England.
Really?
So, yeah, a lot of stuff across the pond episode.
All right. And so it's going to be Sunday, July 13th, 1980.
Sunday.
Yep. There was an annual event held there at the Hollinwell Showground, which was called the Hollinwell Show. And it would come to be known as the Fainting Field. Which is strange, I think. Part of this show was that there was an event that was held by the Forest League of Juvenile Jazz Bands. So, kids in jazz bands.
This just sounds like a rockin' event already. Like, I can tell why they can only have it once a year, because obviously everyone's going to get super partied out and have to recover for 364 days.
They had decided... I don't even know how to, like, respond to that.
They never do.
So they had decided to hold a charity show that involved a jazz band and marching band competition. Go figure. It's a, you know, society of juvenile jazz bands. They're going to have a jazz band competition.
Okay.
Entrants came from all over the East Midlands. So if you're wondering, because I had no idea what that meant.
The middle part of the country to the east, I'm guessing.
The East Midlands includes 6 cities that cover about 6,000 square miles, with a population of over 4.5 million people. So cool. it's a big area.
Is Suffolk included?
You know what? I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I had to look up Suffolk in my topic. That's okay. Why I asked.
Okay. So it's a pretty far way for people to travel for this show, this competition. So around 500 kids, and 500 kids from 11 different marching bands, they showed up And some came from over 40 miles away. So they drove quite a ways.
Holy shit. To get to this place. Super far. I'm being sarcastic, obviously.
You don't think 40 miles is far?
No.
How many hours is that?
It's less than an hour.
What?
40 miles? If you're driving 60 miles an hour, you get there in 40 minutes.
But how much traffic?
I don't fucking know what traffic is like there. You should be telling me what traffic is like there.
I don't know. I don't live there. Never been. Want to go? Maybe one day. Whenever I want to see
you, I drive 3.5 hours, and it's like almost 300 miles.
Yeah, that's so true. But it's just these kids showing up for a show. You know, why drive 40 miles to? I don't know. Meh. I don't know.
Because it's the Midland Jazz Festival or whatever. That's why.
Anyway, so they travel to the show, and it's a ways for kids to come. You know, kids don't want to wake up in the morning. But they're like, okay, we got to wake up super early. The show starts at 9. So they're waking up super early in the morning, getting ready, prepping their instruments, doing all that fun stuff for this jazz show, this jazz competition. And by around 10:30 at this Hall and Well show, kids start collapsing for no reason.
Wow.
So the show starts at 9. 10:30 rolls around. Kids are starting to pass out. And once the first kids started fainting, it was like, it was contagious because kids just started to pass out one after the other. And soon there were hundreds of these kids getting sick. And it wasn't just them having these fainting spells. These children who had come all this way to play were vomiting. They were developing sore eyes and throats and suffering from dizziness. If anybody knows anything about jazz and marching bands, there's a lot of wind instruments.
Okay.
So, like, imagine all these kids that need to use wind instruments or whatever. They're vomiting. They have sore throats. They can't, you know what I mean? It's a mess.
I mean, I kind of mentioned this to you. You briefly told me what this topic was going to be like, and I told you I would save my theory for the show. But I do understand that there's this sympathetic vomiting thing that happens.
Okay.
Which is the nice way of saying if you see someone vomit, you're going to vomit too. So it's like, it could have been like the everyone fainting thing obviously is weird. But I understand like if one kid sees another kid vomit, they're like, oh no, here it comes. And if that kid vomits, that just exponentially increases the amount of vomit that's around. So anyone else that's like a sympathetic vomiter might be like, oh God, oh no. And it's just this horrible chain reaction that could just go down the line of all the jazz bands.
Yeah. So I mean, the dizziness and the nausea and stuff like that that these kids were experiencing could be, you know, the resulting vomiting. But maybe, at least for me, that's how I feel when I get motion sick, is I start feeling dizzy and I get really nauseous and then eventually you feel like throwing up. One girl described her symptoms as, quote, "My legs and arms felt as if they had no bones in them. And I had a bad headache," end quote. So it wasn't just like, I saw a kid vomiting, so I felt like vomiting. It's like more of a physical reaction than that, right?
I don't know. According to your
Have you ever felt like you had no bones?
No. I've never had bones day.
I've never felt like Harry Potter went.
That was just his arm. We all know that.
Yeah, but like,
Gilderoy Lockhart, what a fucking phony.
Yeah. Anyway, so approximately 300 children, babies, and adults were affected, 259 of which were spread out between four of the nearby hospitals. Some even had to be kept overnight.
That's a lot.
With how severe their symptoms were. The fact that it's children, babies, and adults.
Yeah.
Babies don't see other people vomiting and go like, you know what, I feel like vomiting.
You know what babies do? They just go, you know what, I feel like vomiting whenever the fuck they want because they're babies. The fact that the adults were also experiencing this is odd. I'm curious to hear what else happens here.
So according to the 14 Times, their investigation found that even a number of horses felt ill during the show, but were... But they
no, Doc, I'm not feeling too good, man, from my hooves to my ears. But, how the fuck do they know that?
Yeah, they weren't able to link it to the whole event. They were just like, you know what? Horses were also sick.
Maybe they
know.
Got into an argument on the way there and the horses were just feeling down.
I mean, there is a thing, though, that horses can pass, but like horse herpes, they can pass between each other really easily.
Gross.
Jesus. So that's Christ. A thing.
Your topic is so weird this week.
But that has nothing to do with my topic. That's just a horse.
You're stealing my thunder. My horse orgy is going to be totally ruined now.
Anyway, it's still not. And also, that is not how horse herpes spreads. It's like their noses touch the bars of their, you know, the barn.
I'm aware of how responsible horses are during horse orgies. Okay, I'm not trying to put out a stigma.
Whatever. Anyway, fuck you. It's still not known exactly what it is that happened that day. So the widespread effect has doctors kind of confused. They don't know why it spread to so many people so quickly. The Asheville District Council, which is the local government district of Nottinghamshire, conducted investigations looking into any possible causes. They researched any possible contaminated water supplies, any possible food poisoning, possible even possible like radio signals that could have affected, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I was wondering if there's like a cloud of gas that people couldn't see that like settled over the crowd and fucked them all up or something like that. Like once all these other people and of course the horses were involved, it started to seem to me like this must have been something like that was airborne, but I don't know.
They thought that it could have been a pesticide crop spraying mm-hmm. that was happening in some nearby fields. Of these possible culprits, pesticides became one of the more favorable explanations to the incident. Reported in a 2003 episode of BBC News' Inside Out, the locals used a pesticide called Tritomorph, and it's apparently a banned fungicide. The British government had banned it in 2000, and it had been discovered to be harmful slash hazardous by the World Health Organization, or WHO.
Who?
Doctor Who.
I hate you.
This BBC investigation did take place 20 years after the fact, so it doesn't really reflect the initial findings of any official inquiry at the time. It was originally found that what they had actually used was something called calixin that contained Tritomorph, but wasn't itself banned at the time. And this pesticide apparently wasn't itself considered dangerous, which I find interesting, because if a pesticide contains a banned fungicide, wouldn't it still be bad?
Yeah, you know? Imagine so.
So whoever's a chemist out there or who deals with this type of stuff, let us know, because I'm really curious. I just don't understand how that works. If it contains, maybe it's like a percentage, like how much you can actually use in it, like DDT or whatever is banned, but there's products that contain DDT, but it's like a small percentage of it.
Right on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know anything about this stuff. I'm not a doctor.
Because doctors are the ones that mix up the pesticides.
Chemists do.
Are they doctors? Are chemists doctors?
They have PhDs.
Do they? Do they all?
I would hope so, if they're mixing chemicals like that. But this original official inquiry also put forth the idea that it could be mass hysteria. Like a lot of these weird things that happen, a lot of people are like, it's mass hysteria. Everyone's like Adam, like someone saw someone vomiting, so everyone started vomiting. Like
that's sympathetic vomiting. And the like, it could just be the world record for chain reaction vomiting. Mass hysteria, I feel like, is something that they just toss out there when they're like, we don't fucking know. Like, well, let's just blame everyone.
Yeah, it's just like a go-to answer for things where they can't explain why everyone gets affected. Or not everyone, but like random people in a large group get affected. And it's just a way to explain how things spread and how these symptoms are experienced. It's just them, like their brains making shit up, apparently, or something. But despite the idea that it could be, you know, mass hysteria, those that were at the heart of the event refused to believe that it was mass hysteria. They wholeheartedly believe that what they felt was real and were really frustrated when authorities were like, you guys are just tripping, you know? I'm sure the officers and stuff came out and said. They're just like, y'all are tripping. It's mass hysteria. Chill. Apparently, in 2022, that's this year, a local BBC radio reporter created a podcast that recounted the events. And during their investigation, they consulted a forensic science lecturer from Nottingham Trent University who hypothesized that they could have used different cleaning products that may have possibly caused a temporary toilet block in the restrooms. And when the chemicals that got blocked in there combined, it created like, it could have created like a chlorine gas that caused the symptoms that were described. I know there's like something that you mix with bleach. And when you mix the two things together, it creates that chlorine gas and it's really not good for you. But I forget what it is.
Is it chlorine? Is it chlorine and bleach?
Is it chlorine?
I'm asking.
I remember in Silent Hill.
Oh, God.
I think it's Silent Hill 3 or whatever. The one where you go to the mall and nope. Stuff like, okay.
2 is the only one I've ever played and I played it with you.
Okay. Maybe it's 3, maybe it's 4. Maybe it's Silent Hill 4. But one of the things, you know, one of the puzzle things you have to figure out is, like, you have to put bleach and something else into a bucket.
Seems like a great thing to teach people.
Someone out there is like, yeah, this is the game. But yeah, anyway, that's not important. It's just something, like, nostalgia-wise that I always remember. Anyway, no one really knows for sure. Maybe it's this chlorine gas. Maybe it's mass hysteria. Maybe it's just like horses making people sick. Who knows? But there has been no effort to reopen the case and kind of really get down to the nitty gritty and figure out what it is that could have caused this. So
I do find it annoying when people are just like, you know, this happened and we don't know what it was, but since everyone's okay and everyone's moved on, let's just leave it be. That seems really fucking
suspicious. It's one of those, like, let's put it under, like, what did people say? Sweep it under the rug.
Sweep it under the rug. I think it happens a lot because everyone's like, I don't want to be exposed to liability, you know, just in case it was someone's fault or there's something that happened that it could possibly mean, like, I get blamed for it.
Right, yeah.
Let's just all keep it quiet and decide, like, shit happens, you know, 270 or so people or whatever.
Yeah, that's why there's a toilet blockage.
It's just so fucking creepy. Like, I don't trust it at all. This is why I don't go to jazz band competitions anymore.
Have you ever?
It's all about the ones you miss.
Anyway, okay.
Jazz joke for some of you.
Oh, because it's the notes between the notes.
It's about the notes you don't play.
I know nothing about jazz music. I'm going to put that out there just saying. I just think it sounds nice.
I mean, just watch that thing you do when he goes to the jazz club. That's all you need to do.
You just got to watch that movie. It doesn't matter, I mean, what part you watch.
It is
just
a really good movie.
Just watch that movie.
100%.
Anyway, so second topic I'm going to cover here is also a tale of a group affected by something that is possibly unknown, and it's an entire village experiencing, like, the same type of illness. It's just odd. It's weird that these people are experiencing these things as a group. So in a small village of Kalachi in Kazakhstan, there is some type of sleeping sickness that has affected its residents. So people call this place Sleepy Hollow because those that live here can be rendered unconscious for days at a time.
Interesting.
You say that very strangely.
Because I'm just like, this sounds like a very different version of the Sleepy Hollow that I have seen starring Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci.
Yeah, it's nothing like, there's no headless horseman that comes and chops your head off.
I hate it when they do remakes.
But this whole thing started in, like, 2011, 2013, something like that.
Can you believe Christopher Walken was the Headless Horseman? Sorry, I just had to jump in there. I just forget that part.
I think it is funny that it's Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci because they're both pretty people, and I love them in that movie.
Why is that funny? That's weird that that's funny.
I just love that movie. I literally watch it every year, at least 2 or 3 times a year. It's just...
It's a good movie.
Yeah. So this began around 2011 or 2013. I wasn't able to figure out the exact date. Some sources say 2013, some say 2011. But it hit this village like some sort of plague. And it doesn't affect absolutely everyone in the village all at once, kind of like the Hollandwall incident. It's more random. So there is a nearby ghost village of Krasnogorsk that contains abandoned uranium mines.
Oh, shit.
So some thought that maybe that played a role in why these people kept getting affected, why they kept, you know, going to sleep for days at a time.
Do they glow green while they sleep?
I don't believe so. The radiation levels at the entrance of these mines are about 16 times higher than what you would find in general background radiation. So it's thought that the smoke billowing from these abandoned mines might possibly be blowing over to this village. There are ex-uranium mine workers that reside in this village, but they, for the most part, don't experience any of these sleep symptoms. So I don't know if it's because they've worked in the mines, therefore they're invincible.
Wow. Yeah, that's gotta be it.
Or immune to it, you know?
Anyone looking for invincibility, go work in uranium mines.
But that's, I say a lot of them, but it's not all of them. Some do get affected. Investigators from the National Nuclear Researching Center of Kazakhstan went to this village in 2010 to test the ground and air for radiation. But their investigation of the village came up with nothing out of the ordinary. Everything seemed normal, radiation-wise. Some people think that maybe it's carbon monoxide poisoning. There have been reports that the carbon monoxide levels are 10 times above normal levels around the uranium mines, the abandoned uranium mines. But it seems strange that if all that carbon monoxide was coming over, that it would only affect certain people. I think, like, if carbon monoxide was billowing over an area, everyone would get affected, right?
Right.
At least that would be my understanding of it, but I'm not a scientist, right?
It reminds me of that lake that, like, burped. I can't remember the name of the lake, but we covered it, it gotta be, like, 100 episodes ago at this point. But it essentially, like, there's a pocket of gas that like, there's right. a little earthquake, and so the ground shifted. That gas, like, escaped up through the water, but it was denser than air, so, like, basically it was an avalanche over the side of it and just collapsed onto a village where it just killed everything.
Right.
It sounds kind of like that, so yeah.
Those that have been affected by the sleeping sickness, it's just reported that they have no real explanation for what happens or why it happened to them or anything. Alexander Ruiz, who was out fishing, suddenly felt shaky and dizzy one day, and he was in the middle of catching fish. He reeled it in, started unhooking it, but he didn't.
He had just caught the biggest fucking fish you've ever seen.
He was starting to feel weird, but he hadn't passed out yet. So he just felt like something was wrong. Like, he began to feel like he was getting pushed because his body wasn't balancing correctly. He just felt off. But he kept fishing and he kept fishing, and then it felt like the river was swaying in front of him. And to me, that sounds like, you know, when you're drunk and you lay down, and when you lay down, everything starts moving. Yeah. it's kind of like that. Also, people don't drink because, you know, I mean, drink if you want to, but drink responsibly.
Correct.
But shit happens when you get real drunk, and it's dangerous.
My friends always used to complain about getting the spins, I think is what they call
that's
them.
That's what, and that's, I mean, I've experienced it before, but that's kind of what Alexander here was experiencing, where he's standing there and he's looking out at something that should not be moving, and it's just swaying back and forth in front of him.
Right.
So,
for clarification, I've gotten the spins too, but I was just like, I like just surrendered to it. Like, oh, it's like a roller coaster.
No. Whee! When that happened and I closed my eyes, I just felt like I was going to vomit.
You know? I was just like, cool.
But I heard, like, if you put your leg down on the ground.
Or your hand on the wall.
Yeah.
It orients you a bit.
I could not be an astronaut because I would vomit all over that spaceship.
I could not be an astronaut on account of how drunk I get all the time.
What the hell? Anyway. Oh, my God. We've gone off the rails. Where was
I? Do you think there's been drunk people in space? Like, we got to get on a tangent.
I don't think they can bring booze up into space.
I think, okay. First of all, they're going to get shit on space. Like, they're going to get it up there one way or the other. But, like, I mean, you got to do experiments when you're in space, right? Like, what's the effects of zero G on someone who's super fucked up? And I would imagine that it's really fun until you puke.
I did tell Adam there's some weird facts this weekend, but apparently someone had a turd floating around on the Apollo 10.
Yeah, I forgot about that. There's a mystery turd that no one claimed
on
Apollo 10.
No one claimed, and no one would take the blame for this random piece of poop floating around on the Apollo 10.
Fun fact, since everything going down with Twitter right now has people shitting all over Elon Musk and we're talking about shit, when I worked at Tesla, I won't say which department or which building, but when I was at Tesla, there was an incident where one of the restrooms was not being kept clean, is the best way to put it. The occupants of that restroom were just gross people. And they got warned publicly in, like, a meeting with, like, a few hundred people there. Like, you guys got to stop being so goddamn gross. And then the next day, someone shit on the floor of the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And just left it there. Like, oh, you want us to not be gross? And they just fucking took a shit on the floor and left it there. And then they had this giant meeting where they told everyone.
That's so unsanitary.
They told everyone, swear to God, hand to God, this is exactly what happened. They told everyone, like, everyone is going to start taking turns cleaning that bathroom because it shouldn't be up to the maintenance people to have to clean up your shit that was on the floor. And people were like, who didn't shit on the floor were like, I will not clean a fucking bathroom because someone decided to take a shit on the floor. So there was this horrible like standoff between management and like the regular employees who were just like, they just hated each other so much. And that's the sort of shit, literally, that was happening when I was working there. It was bizarre. But anyways, let's get back to your story. All
right. That has nothing to do with this, but okay. We've really grown off the rails now.
We haven't been the same room in a long time.
So obviously he started getting what would essentially be similar to the spins. He got nauseous, but he was conscious enough to get in his car and take himself to the hospital, but he had no recollection of doing it. So once he got to the hospital, stuff happened. He claims to only remember waking up surrounded by his friends in the hospital. Not his friends checking in on him. All his friends were in the hospital for the same reason.
Oh, shit.
So they all spent 3 days in intensive care. No one knew what happened. They just all passed out for days.
And this is the same village that had the sleeping sickness?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I'm still talking about that same topic. This guy lived there. Crazy. So doctors thought that what these people were experiencing were strokes at first, but none of them were cognitively affected like one would be after experiencing a stroke. What they did find, though, was that each of these patients had suffered from an edema, which is apparently excess fluid in the brain. And then some other doctors just chalked the whole thing up to them having narcolepsy. But I don't think narcolepsy puts you to sleep for days at a time.
I don't think
also,
so.
Also, what happened, what was incredibly strange, was the men that were afflicted by this. So when they passed out, whether it be for days or what, however long, when they woke up, they would be incredibly obsessed and absolutely mad for sex.
Yeah, I can see that.
But they were horrible human beings after that. They were like pieces of shit about it, where they would start calling women horrible things.
Wow.
Like they would just be, they. It's like they had lost their minds.
They woke up toxic.
Because they want, yes. That sucks. You know what I mean?
So like 3 days of sleeping, you wake up super horny and toxic, which means you're not going to get unhorny anytime soon if you're acting that fucking toxic.
oh my God, I guess. But yeah, so there were those that did wake up not having this sex-crazed, you know, after effect. But they acted more like zombies. Like, they just kind of walked around in a dazed state. There were some that actually experienced memory loss after having woken up. So it's really strange that they're all getting affected in these weird ways. Children who fell under this spell of this sleeping sickness would suffer from horrific hallucinations, kind of like night terrors.
Oh, no.
Which is something that we've probably all heard about, or
we've definitely talked
about. If you haven't experienced it yourself, you've heard of it and you kind of know what night terrors are. But they would see these terrifying demons or really strange things. Someone described seeing like strange growths sprout from their mother's face. I was like, what the? If I had like nightmares like that, I would freak out. Like Adam told me about one of his dreams he had this weekend. And I was like, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like I would hate, that's like something out of a horror movie.
Shit just happens in my brain, man.
But mothers would fear.
I also woke up super horny and toxic.
Shut up. Mothers, I can't. It just, that's bad after this. Okay. Mothers would fear for their children. Like, imagine going to wake your child up in the morning, and it's like they're in a coma. You shake them, try to shake them awake, and you're trying to talk to them and tell them to wake up, and they're just not waking up. It's just a terrifying thing, and I can't even imagine having to go through that.
That would be absolutely terrifying.
Overall, there just seems to be a general lack of information on all of it. Even after over 20,000 labs and clinical tests, there are still conspiracy theories that just run rampant about the whole thing. Some people say it's radiation, maybe it's the carbon monoxide, maybe it's a deliberate poisoning somehow of certain people, or maybe it's like electrical waves or something that are affecting people's brain waves to kind of act this way. There is technology out there that can affect you like that. So who knows, right? Maybe it's the government testing new weapons.
I think if I'm going to toss into conspiracy theories here, the one that's most obvious, that's most likely true, is it's a superhero or a supervillain who has just discovered their superpowers, who's just testing shit out.
Why just this village?
What?
Why just this village?
Just they don't want. It's like when you are making a video game and you start like beta testing it, in a different market than the big market you're going to release it to. It's like they're testing it out for when they want to bring it to like wherever they live. So they travel, they hop the plane to Kazakhstan. They're like, all right, let's find a village and let's start making people, sleep for 3 days and wake up super horny and angry, which is just weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, they're fine-tuning.
I don't think so, but they're okay.
Fine-tuning their superpower.
You believe in what you want to believe. I'm not here to tell you what's right or wrong. The poster
on the wall says, I want to believe.
Okay. So, though this village has been known as Sleepy Hollow to some, you can see why it's also been deemed the Village of the Damned by others. Oh, because wow. It's just especially with the men waking up as completely different people, it's just terrifying. And then the kids experiencing it too, it's just a mess. Many have left the village for neighboring villages, which is funny because, if the carbon monoxide or whatever is traveling from a nearby mine, if you're moving to a nearby village, it's just going to...
Wouldn't it be the worst thing if you get there and everything was okay and then the fucking cloud shows up too and they're just like, you brought this on us.
Right? Oh, man. I would be... It would turn into one of those things where they start...
Blaming?
Yeah, blaming. Yeah. Yeah. The people that have left this village are afraid, and why wouldn't they be? No one can really explain what it is that's going on. They can come up with, ideas, theories, but there's no definitive proof that that is what is the cause, The men in their lives are changing and not for the better. It's just...
So do they revert back to normal people after they wake up? Do they have like a specific amount of time where they're, toxic, or is it just like that's who they are now?
They're just like crappy people. But I don't know how long it lasts. Maybe it's a couple days or a week. I don't know.
Bust that nut probably.
Oh, gross. But as of January 2015, supposedly over half of the villagers have left the village.
Wow, that sucks.
So over that, yeah. And then more are being evacuated based on the decision that carbon monoxide is the excuse. And so the government is paying for these families to move to other villages based on that idea. And it's such an odd and scary occurrence, but it's kind of good to know that the government's like not leaving them alone. They're like, we're trying to work it out here. But still, there's no definitive information, and it's really frustrating, I'm sure, for them when people just are passing out for days at a time. But there are always those people who are like, I'm not leaving my home.
Right.
So I'm going to stay here. It's like Centralia, how there's like three houses or three people living there left.
Or people in like the United States when they get hit by a hurricane. They're like, everyone needs to evacuate. They're not like, nope, not fucking leaving. There's always those stubborn people.
Yeah, the Leonardo DiCaprios of their Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep, except far less rich in most cases.
But yeah, those are some strange occurrences that have happened in history.
Those are very weird.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
Thanks.
I liked it. Mine's going to kind of follow that, but not exactly, but we're going to get there, so.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break before my topic, so we'll see you on the other side. Hello, from the other side. Welcome. All right, we're going to get into my topic now. And this week, I wanted to go back to something that I had talked about in a different episode. I don't remember the episode I actually referenced this, but the list of stuff that we have referenced in previous episodes that we need to cover is starting to build up, which is always nice to see. And it's nice when we brush past something on a topic where we state like, okay, cool, this relates, but we're going to save this for a different day. That day is today for this particular one. So I'm covering this bizarre mystery that involves bizarre children, or you can call them creepy, which is, you know, of course, Robin's favorite thing, creepy children. And to be fair, most children are creepy. So, I mean, not trying to be insulting, but in the wrong context, a child just showing up and you don't know who the fuck they are saying the wrong thing is just terrifying.
Yeah, I agree.
So, although it's hard to tell what really happened in this story, I do want to state up front that it is supposedly a true story. And I'll get to some of the things, some of the research that's been done to corroborate this story versus like just the actual telling of it, but we're going to go over the telling first. And I found all this information on the internet, which never lies, so you can trust that.
Wow.
With that, I present the Green Children of Woolpit. I'd like to go ahead and start this story with the normal disclaimer that this could all be bullshit, despite the fact that I just stated that this is supposedly a true story. You know, it could be bullshit.
I just want to know if they were actually green. Like, really green.
Well,
like,
I mean,
they're green
children. We're gonna get to it. The thing is that this happened such a long time ago, it could just totally be all made up.
Could they have just had olive skin and then they named them green children?
Well, I'm going to get to it. So after enough time passes, when you have a story that's been around for a while, like most facts just crumble to dust and bullshit somehow perseveres. But we'll see what happens in this particular case. So this story takes place in the faraway and mystical land of Suffolk, England. If you're wondering where Suffolk is, it is geographically in England on the East Coast-ish. And while this might not sound that mystical, I'd like to propose that just about anything could be considered mystical if it takes place in the 12th century.
Which is the 1100s?
Correct.
Okay.
So Woolpit is a village in the county of Suffolk, and it's still around too. This is a town that's been around since when this story takes place, which is the 1100s, as Robin just referenced, and is still in existence today. At least I think it is. The most recent like census data I could find was from 2011. There was 1,995 people there.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they have sleeping sickness or anything like that that might have wiped out their village, but it's still around. So like most places in England, it's obviously been around for a very, very long time, so you can assume that it's just haunted in general. This story is considered to be true, like I said, but you know, if you're going to drink your margarita, make sure you have salt on the rim and take it with a nice, healthy grain of salt.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's fucking Thanksgiving. You guys are dealing with your family. Go ahead and get that margarita. You've earned it. So the details vary in the tellings, but most of the tellings of this really have the core of the story the same. And I'll tell you where it deviates here and there. But the story itself has been told all over England for quite some time. And not just in the place where it happened, in Suffolk. It's been told all over the country and outside of it. There's some details about which parts may have changed here and there. But for the most part, you know, the core is just about intact, regardless of where you go. Which makes it seem like it carries more credence. It's not like the story changes based off of, like, which region it's being told from. When things change significantly based off of, like, where you're hearing it from, then it sounds like, you know, it's all bullshit. When stuff stays the same, it seems like there is, like, it's rooted in truth is the best way to put it.
I could see that.
So this event takes place at some point between the years of 1135 and 1154. Most folks state that this took place in the year 1150, but that is not confirmed. The reason that it's assumed it takes place between 1135 and 1154 is because the story always takes place during the rule of King Stephen. I think it's Stephen and not Stephen. It's S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
I've never heard of a King Stephen.
I haven't either. And his rule was between 1135 and 1154. So that's why they're like, it took place during this era because King Stephen was supposedly around when this happened. I find it ironic that it was supposed to be King Stephen because this shit sounds more like Stephen King. Oh.
I hate that. That's dumb. That makes no sense.
How does that make no sense?
What does Stephen King have to do with any of this?
Because it's creepy. Anyways, one day.
Maybe that's how he got the idea for, like, the twins and The Shining.
Maybe. All right, so one day, some villagers were out harvesting their crops in Woolpit. While I don't know the primary export of Woolpit during this time period, I think it's a safe assumption it was likely wheat, barley, oats, or whiskey. So,
actually, the UK doesn't actually grow a lot of its wheat. Wheat actually comes mostly from America.
Well, I was reading up on what at the time their primary like crops were, and it said wheat, barley, and oats along with some other stuff. And then I Googled what's their primary export right now, and it said for food export in the UK, it is by far and away whiskey. And I was like, that's fucking cool, right on.
All that rye.
So anyways, these guys are out in their fields between 1135 and 1154. I think they actually had cattle in the region because Woolpit had these wolf pits, which is what it's named after. Wolf pits are essentially big holes dug into the ground that are lined with stone that are meant for trapping wolves. It's to, you know, hunt these wolves and basically make sure they don't become a menace to their area. Some of these villagers were inspecting the wolf pits and they made an odd discovery. Directly next to one of the wolf pits, but not in it, were two unknown children. They seemed very anxious. They seemed very nervous. And when the villagers tried to calm them down and ask where their parents were, they only responded with what was called, quote, gibberish.
Because it was something that they didn't understand.
They didn't understand what the fuck they were saying.
Okay.
They were dressed in clothing made from material that was said to be unrecognizable. They didn't recognize, like, the patterns or the fashion, so they were dressed oddly as well. And in addition to all that, as you could probably guess from the title of my topic, they were completely green.
Now, Evil Witch of the West green? Like, Grinch green? What kind of green here?
So here's the thing. It's the 1100s. There's no fucking pictures. If you see a picture, which I'm going to post a bunch on our Instagram and our Facebook, they obviously were not taken when this happened because pictures didn't exist. That would have just been witchcraft. You can't pause me in time. What the hell are you talking about? But the descriptions from what I can find, it's not like the inside of a cucumber, how that's like really light green. It was more like the outside of the cucumber, like a deep green, to the point where if you saw them, you'd be like, are you human?
So they're like forest green.
Yeah. So from the descriptions I can find, even though they're like forest green, they're probably still like a brighter shade than the outside of a cucumber, like Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z, or maybe She-Hulk from She-Hulk. So
okay.
No one had any idea.
I still haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I didn't hate it. I hated the finale, but I didn't hate the show. All right. We're going to keep moving forward before. I think everyone's just like, oh my God, I need to tweet at Adam not to tell him how much I fucking hated She-Hulk. Please don't tweet at me. I don't care. Also, I'm probably not going to check my Twitter anymore anyway, so just tweeted Elon. No one had any idea where they came from and could not, for the life of them, understand why they were green and how come they didn't understand anything they were saying. Like, how could they know a completely different language and just have randomly appeared? None of the villagers who were reached out to understood the language or even recognized it. So any of these folks, because like you could be like, oh, you know, they might be speaking Gaelic or they might be speaking like a different language from a region that's nearby. They're all like, they're speaking fucking parcel tongue. I have no idea what they're saying. Perhaps they're snakes. So okay. With the village unsure of what to do, they were taken to the home of a man named Sir Richard de Calne. I assume since his name begins with Sir, he was in a position of authority of some sort.
Knighthood.
And the villagers thought it was the best course of action that the children be taken to him. They're like, all right, I'm taking this to my supervisor. I don't know what the fuck to do with this. Not my pay grade. Not my pig. Not my farm. So Sir Richard also did not recognize the language they spoke, but he agreed to have the children stay at his home until their parents were located or a solution for their displacement could be found.
I just feel as if they're going to disappear one day. Like they are aliens that showed up and they're like, well, we're going to hop back on our ship and we're going to phone home.
Well, spoiler alert, that's not what's going to happen.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So Sir Richard tried to communicate, but it seemed for naught that he just couldn't understand what these kids were trying to say. He could not communicate what he was trying to say to them. But the more concerning thing that was happening is these green children refused to eat, and you'd offer them all sorts of food and they would just straight up refuse, like, no, I'm not going to eat that. And they refused to eat for days, and they were still turning down like food that was, you know, good. And they were thinking like being taken or separated from their home may have been so traumatic that these children, you know, are going to refuse to eat until they starve. Like, that was becoming a serious possibility of, like, they're going to die in our care, and we don't want that. And so the children were still nervous, and they had seriously depleted energy. So if you can imagine, like, a really anxious person who doesn't want to be where they're at,
mm-hmm.
but is just completely wiped out from the fact they haven't eaten in, like, several days.
Okay.
At some point, Sir Richard takes them for a walk in his garden. And while walking through the garden, the children recognize green beans, basically. And they decide, as soon as they see them, that they're going to fucking eat them. And they start just eating them out of the ground.
Okay.
Like dirt to mouth, because that's how hungry they were, and it was something they recognized. And it seemed like green beans were the only things that they would eat. So at this point, we can immediately assume these are alien children, because no human child would willingly eat fucking green beans, especially raw.
So.
Their color, right?
They're green.
Yeah.
If you eat enough carrots, you will turn orange.
This is true.
Are they just eating green beans so much that they have turned green.
But it's the only thing we'll eat, which is just, you know, weird. There's a joke also in here about British cooking that I just couldn't find about how raw green beans are preferable to any sort of British cooking that they're offered, but I'll leave that be. Maybe Sam can fill in the blank on that one since she's from Isle of Man and she can probably take a better pot shot at it than me.
Okay.
So there is more to this story, but it's important to stop now, just to pause. Everybody say stop. Hey, what's that sound? And point out that at the time, the people were absolutely baffled about where these kids came from and basically what they even were. Some didn't think they were human. They thought they were fairies. Some thought they came from the sky. When the story is told today, lots of folks like to posit that these children were actually extraterrestrials, that they were just straight up aliens. Another thing that I find funny about this, and I am unable to confirm if this is true or not, but it's stated in a lot of spots on the internet, so you know it's probably true, is that it said that these two green children just showing up is the origin of the phrase little green men. So when you describe like something being alien and something being odd, it's actually not extraterrestrials where the little green men or little green man phrase comes from.
Yeah.
It's supposedly from this because they're just bizarre creatures that just showed up out of anywhere, out of nowhere. And they were just called like little green men because people didn't know what they were.
But they're children.
Yeah,
they're tiny. Why would they call them little green men?
Because they're tiny, and they're just like, they only eat green beans. Like, what the fuck is happening? We don't know what's going on.
All right.
So, it did not originate with people talking about aliens. Apparently, it came from this. But again, I can't verify that. Could all be bullshit. It's like when I tell people that I was the one who named Fallout Boy.
Oh, my God.
It's one of my favorite things to lie to people about. When people are just like, oh, yeah, I listen to that band. I'm like, did you know they didn't used to have a name? Which is true. And people are like, really? I'd be like, yeah. At a show one day, they said, hey, what should we name ourselves? And someone in the crowd yelled out, Fall Out Boy, because Fall Out Boy is a character from Radioactive Man, which is a comic book from The Simpsons. And they're like, oh, that's a good name. And that's where they got their name. That's a true story, apparently. And people would be like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, it was me. It was at the Riv, 1999. And people like just add in a bunch of bullshit details. And people are like, oh, my God, really? And then you're like, no, you fucking idiot. Obviously, I'm kidding.
Okay.
Anyways.
That was okay. Just keep going. Tell me more about these little green men.
So this isn't like a lot of the stories from long, long ago where something weird happens and then there's no follow-up or they just disappear like Robin already posited. These kids stayed with Sir Richard, unable to communicate and surviving solely on beans for months. As time goes on, they're able to pick up some words in English because they're, you know, a round person that's speaking only English, and they're eventually coaxed into trying bread. It's the first thing they try that's not beans, which they eventually added to their regular diet. And as time passed, as they're eating less things that are green beans, they start to turn a lighter shade of green. So slowly, they added more food to their diet, and their green continued to fade, which does support the theory that their green was, you know, based off the fact that all they ate was green beans. But that would mean that before they showed up, that is all they ate, or stuff that was very similar in shade to that. Also, it wouldn't turn you as green as they are in the legends, but their green is starting to fade after, I think it's like 7 or 8 months at this point. They also pick up more and more English, which is allowing them to communicate. After they've lived with Sir Richard for several years, they're finally able to speak English well enough that someone sits down and asks them, what happened? Where did you come from? Where are your parents? How did you end up in the field that day? Some stories say they both said this, like in unison, or like that they like told the story together. Other stories state it was just the sister who said this. But this is what they supposedly actually said. And this is quoted in almost every story I can find. Keep in mind, it's 12th century English. So it's going to sound a little bit weird, but then we're going to like, when you read Shakespeare in like middle school or high school, you go back and you're like, okay, what did they actually say? I know those words, but together they sound weird. So they said, quote, we are inhabitants of the land St. Martin, who is regarded with peculiar veneration in the country which gave us birth.
And veneration is like idolizing, right?
Well, or like in praising. This context, it's basically just like, we're from St. Martin. That's where we were born. I don't know why all that extra fucking language is needed. Okay. We are ignorant of how we arrived here. We only remember this, that on a certain day when we were feeding our father's flocks in the fields, a lot of alliteration, we heard a great sound, which really means loud. Not like, oh my God, I heard fucking The Beatles. It was so great.
It was the greatest song in the world.
Such as, we are now accustomed to hear it at St. Edmund's when the bells are chiming. So they hear this sound that they recognize from the world they're in now, which just sounds like church bells, apparently. And whilst listening to the sound in admiration, We became, on a sudden, as it were, entranced, and found ourselves among you in the fields that you were reaping. So they heard bells from basically this other world, then all of a sudden they're in the field, is what they're saying.
Okay.
The sun does not rise upon our countrymen. Our land is a little cheered by its beams. We are content with that twilight which, among you, precedes the sunrise or follows the sunset.
So it's dark where they're from.
It's perpetually dark. Wherever they're from, the sun never shines. So it's, you know, the part that Mufasa taught us about. Like, okay. Don't go there.
All right.
So they're basically stating that they live in a land of perpetual twilight. They continued on to say, moreover, a certain luminous country is seen not far distant from ours and divided from it by a very considerable river. They live in a land of perpetual twilight. There's a river where they can see a different country
across the river Styx. Way.
But on the other side, that country has the light that shines on it. So these are, you know, kids that came from, like, the dark side. So there was much made about this place they claimed to be from. No one had ever heard of St. Martin, and when they asked questions about it, it just became weirder. The kids insisted the sun just never came out. There was no light whatsoever. They lived in the dark. And this upset people. I mean, to say you live in constant darkness in the 1100s, definitely weirded folks right the fuck out.
What if these kids had been kind of raised in the wilderness by some people that locked them up constantly and, like, didn't let them see the light. But
let them tend their fields and look across the river and shit.
And they only let them out at night to do it.
When I read this, to me, it sounded figurative. When they say, like, the light doesn't shine on us, it's kind of like we're, like, you know, looked down upon. And then when it says, like, oh, we can see this other country, though, where the light shines on them. But they specifically state, like, it's twilight. It's what precedes sunrise and follows the sunset. That's what's always going on there.
Okay.
Where, like, there's light on the horizon, but the sky is dark. Like, they're very specific about what it looks like. So for me, I'm like, maybe it's not figurative. It sounds like they're actually being literal.
Okay.
But it's the 1100s, and they're telling people, like, we come from the land of darkness, basically. So some versions state that St. Martin was actually underground. Like, when they tell this story, they're stating that they're from, like, a cave system that they emerged from. And when they heard the bells ring, they went down a specific cave they'd never seen before. And then all of a sudden, they were in our world.
They're people that live in the center of the earth.
Yes, I make a lizard folk reference later on. But a bunch of the reference materials I found don't actually align with this idea that they came from the caves. This looks like it was something that was made up later. And I will touch on that in a little bit. So especially since they said they were underground and they could see a place where the light shines on across a river, like, that doesn't check out with being underground either. So anyways, regardless, Sir Richard said, all right, it's time to take these children and get them good and baptized. It's been a few years. They come from the land of darkness, a little bit creeped out. We're going to get that old original sin washed right off of them. End quote. So seriously, that's what the story states. At this point, Sir Richard is like, all right, if this is where they're from and this is what they're saying, we should have them baptized. People will feel more comfortable about the fact that they're around. And upon learning of the origin of the children, everyone was just like, yeah, they seem like they're children of darkness. Please take them to the church and have them, you know, purified. In case you don't know what a baptism is, because some of you might not. I always think that people view, you know, the world through the lens of what I've gone through. Baptism is essentially a form of ritual purification, primarily in Christianity. It's also called, like, Tavala in Judaism. It's another form of, like, purification with water.
Okay.
We could get into reasons on why this is believed based off of religion, but it's just the application of water basically to a person during a ceremony to purify you of whatever. So, side note, I was baptized. Robin wasn't, I'm pretty sure. Probably why she's so good at sinning, wink wonk.
I was, fuck. My parents are Buddhist, you stupid idiot.
Heathens, got it. If you really want to know what baptism is, there's a really good Simpsons episode where Bart and Lisa get taken to be baptized by Flanders, and it's so goddamn funny. You should watch it. Anyways, now, it's said that after being baptized in a local church, these two kids seemed okay, and then almost immediately after it, the green boy became ill. And his illness did not abate. It actually became worse until he eventually died.
It's because he wasn't meant to live on human food.
I mean, he ate beans, which are human food, but we're also going to get to something about the beans. There's so much shit to this story. So the sister doesn't get ill at all. And she actually winds up continuing to live her life at St. Richard's, Sir Richard's, not St. Richard's, Sir Richard's. Her complexion slowly matches that of the folks around her. And she does become fluent in English as she gets older. It's said she wound up in the employ of Sir Richard's, becoming a servant. She was widely regarded by those whom she served to be very, quote, wanton and impudent. Now, that can mean a lot, but it basically means, like, sexually lewd and disrespectful.
I feel like wanton just means, like, they're going to do whatever the fuck they want. She doesn't care.
When it's an adjective to describe someone, it usually involves, like, sexuality. At least that's how it is in, like, the dictionary.
Maybe she's just hot as fuck.
I think she's just like, here you go, suck my big balls. And she's, like, pouring someone tea, and they're like, oh, my teaspoon was supposed to be on the right side, not the left. She's like, eat my tits, and just, like, walks away.
What the sh-
English is new to her. She doesn't know what to say.
Oh, my God. But so stupid.
The point is, like, she's a servant, but at the same time, you know, she's not... she's not putting up with people's shit, basically. So she's not, like, so bad that they get mad at her, but that's what they say about her. That's her reputation. I think what it really comes down to is she was like, thanks for the new life, Sir Dick. Like, I'm so happy I came to another world so my brother could die after taking a bath and I could become your fucking servant.
I mean, that is pretty shitty to take these kids in and then have her become your servant.
That's- I mean, like, what are they gonna do with her at that point except put her out and, like, you know, just say, like, good luck finding a life. And then yeah. They all think she's, like, a child of Twilight. So I think he thought he was doing the right thing. But at the same time, it's like, you now live to serve me, basically. But she wasn't, like, you know, an indentured servant. She was just there, and, like, she could leave if she wanted to. And it said that when she became older, she wound up meeting a man from a different town about 40 miles away, which is the number. And apparently Robin thinks that's, like, super far away and it'll take hours to get there. But she got married to him and she left Sir Richard's employ after that.
Think about it, though. 1100s. You don't have cars that go 60 miles an hour. 40 miles is a fucking...
40 miles is like a 3-year journey. So anyways...
Shut up.
There are lots of folks who take this story as just a fairy tale that kind of describes, like, the way that different cultures from, like, different parts of England and other parts of Europe started to, like, come together. But there are other folks who believe that based on the popularity it's had for almost 1,000 years, that the story has roots that are far closer to fact than allegory. Some people believe that the children could have been suffering from a disease which caused their green complexion, and that they're actually Flemish immigrants, and they're speaking Flemish. They had, you know, either Flemish immigrants as parents or they're descendants of Flemish immigrants, because at the time, Flemish immigrants and their descendants were being persecuted, in a lot of cases killed, by King Stephen and his person who would follow him, King Henry II.
For those of us that don't know, where are Flemish people from?
The Kingdom of Flem. Duh. So it's possible. I meant to Google it because I didn't know and I thought of that in my head. I forgot. So
just Flemish is native to Flanders.
It's funny because I just referenced Flanders. So a
historical
totally makes sense.
Region in northern Belgium.
Oh, okay. So northern Belgium. There you go. But these folks were being persecuted at the time. So a lot of folks thought that these could just be two orphans that were orphaned by their parents being executed. That said, there's a lot of folks who find symbolism in the story, and it's thought that the whole, like, they came from the underground spin comes from these folks that are trying to, like, treat this as, like, a parable, where it's like,
okay. They're
children of the darkness. This is a story about, like, creatures coming from the dark and coming to the light and changing. Also, apparently, beans, like, being the only thing they eat, like, supposedly beans are the food of the dead.
What?
I saw that written a bunch of places, which I've never heard. Which I wish I would have known, because I would absolutely have used that as an excuse not to eat my green beans. It's like, I don't eat the food of the dead. But lots of religious connotations to people interpreting it this way. But one guy named Duncan Lunan did some really deep research into the tale in the early 2000s. And it wasn't about whether or not the kids were fairies or lizard people or whether or not they came from the center of the earth. But it was just straight up whether or not these kids were real. Whether or not they actually existed.
Okay.
Like, that's what he was checking. And Sir Richard de Calne was indeed a real person. Like, if he was a sir, that means there would have been record. He went back far enough where he was able to locate it. He was a squire when this happened. There are records still to this day of the folks that were employed by him through his life, and it appears that a young girl did become his servant in the time frame that would match this story and departed when she grew up.
Interesting.
She was listed only as Agnes.
Agnes or Agnes?
Agnes. It would be Agnes in this case. That means Lamb of God. So it's said that she married a royal official named Richard Barr. So it's possible there could be descendants of one of the green children out there to this day, depending on how prolific their seed was. So,
okay.
It's interesting to see that someone decided to go past the whole, like, were they green? Were they fairies? Were they this? Were they that? And say, like, were they real? Like, were there two orphans that just showed up one day? And if they were, like, it would make sense that they're speaking a different language that someone didn't recognize, that it was a language that actually existed and they didn't come from like the perpetual land of Twilight, and that's why they were green. There's also like this green disease that people do get that is like some form of like sickness that makes you turn green. Like, you know, you say if you're like nauseous, people say like, oh my God, you're turning green.
Yeah.
It's like there is a sickness before in like the early 1500s, 1600s that was like documented where people would turn like distinct shades of green while they were sick. And it's not around as much anymore. I found a bunch of papers on it and like medical journals. Like, why don't people get this way anymore?
Huh.
Like, where did this disease go? And it's basically like modern medicine, like the things that you can take to prevent your illnesses now, basically prevents you from ever getting to the point where you're so sick that you basically turn green. And they're like, it's possible the kids were this. The brother never like fully recovered. And that's why he passed away. And like the whole baptism thing is just a coincidence.
Okay.
But again, it's a story. So it's really hard to tell whether or not this happened. So there basically are as many theories to this as there are stories and versions of it, and we may never really know the truth. But hey, maybe someone someday is going to take a 23andMe test and find out they're 2% fairy. And wouldn't that be like super fucking cool?
I don't think 23andMe has that option. I don't think they know how to test for fairies.
If they're out there catching serial killers, they can detect fairy blood. For sure.
Okay.
But time will tell. And that, my spooky friends, is the Green Children of Woolpit.
Nice.
Thanks. Another thing where it's just like, you know, super odd story, a bunch of people freaking out and they're like, oh my God, what the hell is happening here?
I just think they ate too many green beans. I'm going to say that.
It's possible that they just had a diet of a bunch of fucking vegetables that were super green. And I think they just over-exaggerated how green they were when they were found because they're all probably pale-ass white pink people.
Pink people. I think they may have been, you know, just children that were raised improperly and they escaped the life they lived, and these children had to create their own language because the people that
I could see the whole like dark, personalized language, yes, between the two of them too,
and that's why nobody could understand because they had to make it up themselves. It could be a bunch of things.
I don't think they were raised captive. I think they're probably orphans that had to wind up living in like the woods because their parents got killed.
And all they could eat was green beans.
I think the only thing they were like able to recognize or forage as they were like going around was green beans. And it's probably the only thing that like they could stomach. But that said, I do think that they're probably just really fucking dirty from living in the woods. And that's why they had like grit. Like when you fucking hang out in the woods for a long time, you're going to come back with like dirt and greenage on you.
Okay.
So that combined with a diet of like eating, you know, legumes or whatever, green beans, is just like, oh yeah, they're definitely greener than we were used to.
I mean, if carrots can turn you orange, I don't see why you wouldn't turn green if you ate too many greens. But
I mean, if you have like, I don't know, like a Pokemon cereal, you're gonna shit green the next day. Everyone knows that because of the food coloring.
I shouldn't have fucking told you. You stupid Vinch.
You didn't have to admit to it. What's wrong with you?
Anyway, that's been our episode of strange things that have happened throughout history.
The next time we cover this topic, we'll call it Stranger Things, and we'll be the first ones to ever do that. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, hopefully you folks enjoyed it. Hopefully you folks have a nice Thanksgiving. If you celebrate it, if you don't, have a nice Thursday. Have a nice week, month, whatever, whenever you're listening to this. Have a nice day. Have a nice night. Have a nice whatever this is.
Yeah, indeed. I will say, too, when it comes to Thanksgiving, I know it's kind of a controversial thing, and some of you might be like, why? And, you know, mainly because it's based on bullshit. But I do like the idea of having a day where you, like, sit down and say, like, this is what I'm thankful for. Because I don't think a lot of people do that, and I think it's really good to sit back and think and reflect every, like, once a year, minimum, on the people that you care about and the things that you're thankful for. Because it's a good thing, even if it's, you know, set on a day that's based on a ritual or a holiday or whatever that didn't actually exist. But it is what it is, and I'm very happy that you guys listen to the show. The support you guys offer us is amazing, and we sincerely appreciate it. And, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. And if you have a story you would like to send us, doesn't have to be about Thanksgiving or the Green Children. Could be about anything supernatural, spiritual, paranormal, coincidental, true crime, or extraterrestrial in nature. Feel free to email storytime@scariest.com or go to our website, scariest.com. Click on contact us. Fill out that form. It does come directly to us. Or hit us up on our social medias. We have Instagram, which is @scariestpodcast. Facebook is facebook.com/scariestpodcast. And Twitter is @ElonMusk.
No, it's not.
It is @scariestpod. Feel free to hit us up. We would love to hear from you. Robin, for folks who would like to donate to us, how can they do so?
You can donate to us at patreon.com/scariestpodcast. Those are monthly donations. Tiers start at $1. The next thing I'm going to be mailing out here in the next couple weeks is going to be some stickers that I designed that are a little cute and spooky themed. And you can also go to ko-fi.com/scariestpodcast. And those are one-time donations if you're not into the monthly subscription type thing.
Right on. That is everything we have for this particular episode 250. However, I will say this. In two episodes, we are celebrating our five-year anniversary. When we do the anniversary episodes, we basically just ask you guys to send in questions. Anything. It's just a Q&A session where Rob and I just bullshit about the show, how the year has been, where we're going with it, and then we just answer a bunch of questions from you folks. And so we'll be posting those again on all of our social media, so feel free to drop us a question, and we will answer it on episode 252. So yeah, good stuff. And I think that's just about everything. So Robin, why don't you go ahead and sign us out?
Keep on creeping on, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye. Gobble, gobble.